Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer, also hanging over from the world of boating, Captain Patrick, to help us kick off today's edition of the big show. you know, and we got a lot to cover today. However, before we get into, you know, probably, I guess, what is our first hurricane issue in Florida for of the season, you know, the Republican National Convention that's happening just down the street from us here in our home base of operations of Orlando, Florida. Bob Evans from Force Fins is going to join us.
He's been posting some good pictures on Facebook.
He has. What do you mean? Are you talking about those Force Fin pictures?
Those Force Fin pictures. Those are awesome.
You know, he's not posting them.
Who's posting them?
Those are Force Fin owners. And actually, that's what we're going to talk to him about. Because I saw that, too. I was like, what's going on? You're this little campaign you have of people posting up their Force Fins on the beach of, you know, Dominica or California coast or Hawaii or Fiji or what. I'm like, what is going on? This is a great campaign. I had nothing to do with that. So we're going to get to the bottom of that. Also, Carl Fismer, treasure hunter extraordinaire, is going to join us. And where in the hell is Jerry Beatty? Or where in the world is Jerry Beatty? I guess it's kind of like a Matt Lauer kind of thing from Dive Training Magazine. and we're going to get a hold of him, Pete from Scuba Boy. Hey, we got just a plethora of stuff to get to on today's edition of Scuba Radio. But before we do, last few weeks, I have been railing on Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. Here we are 2 weeks later, and I'm still a little riled up. And I'll tell you why, because I caught up on my DVR this week. And I had DVR'd a couple of the Shark Week specials. Remember last week, Bill, I was saying that I didn't like what I was seeing on some of the promos and things like that. It just looked ridiculous.
Correct.
One of them in particular that I mentioned last week that I had not seen the show, but I had seen them do these cutaways in between Shark Week. You know, they have this host kind of thing. And Patrick, you've seen this, right? You watch Shark Week sometimes. Admit it.
Never.
You've never watched Shark Week, really? Well, then why do you keep bringing in these shark stories? Just because you figure I like this stuff?
Yeah.
I don't like it. It gets me riled up. I think it's bad for the shark.
Bill and I like you riled up.
Oh, okay.
It makes it more entertaining for us to be here.
Okay, that's good.
For sure.
All right, so you're just, it's for your own entertainment.
All right.
To
his
see
own
me
personal
get
amusement.
Riled.
Us and the listeners, yeah.
Well, okay, so these cutaways this year for Shark Week, the host or whatever the heck, he looked like a graduate from Nickelodeon or something. I don't know. But maybe
you can't say that on television.
You know, he may have been from Mythbusters, one of the young punks from Mythbusters, not the two main guys. But, you know, they have that young team of,
yes,
like, hey, we're like
young
super teams.
It wasn't the girl?
Team.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I don't know. But I don't know if it was or not. But anyway, I saw these cutouts, and they had this giant shark they had recreated on the beach, and they were putting things like, you know, washing machines and crap for this thing to chomp down on. And the, you know, the crowd's cheering, like, hey, give them a buggy. You know, a kid's buggy or, you know, here's a Frisbee, something for the shark to chomp on. And it was like, what is going on? What does this have to do with shark conservation, shark tax, anything? It just was, I didn't like it. Well, this
I don't even understand
DR,
what you just said.
They created a giant megalodon shark and put it on the beach. And so in between all the Shark Week shows, they cut away to this quote unquote live feed or whatever. Like, hey, we're going to feed Megalodon a washer and dryer and see how he does.
So yeah. They made a giant trash compactor.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Okay. And actually, on my DVR, there was this show that aired. It was Sharkzilla. And that's what it was. And I watched the show this week. I can't believe I watched this. It was like a car wreck. I was like, I know this is going to be bad, but I got to stop and take a look at this and see what this was all about. And, the idea was they found a giant shark tooth in some place in the country, and they thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we recreated a life-size model of a megalodon, first time ever, and then we'll feed it, household items to chomp on. That was kind of like, I don't know where that part of it came. It kind of bastardized the whole effort. But I'm watching this. I'm like, what does this have to do with shark attacks? What does this have to do with sharks? It doesn't really help sharks at all in conservation. Just like, you make this giant model of a megalodon, put it on the beach. What are people going to think? They're going to think it's out there swimming amongst us. Right? Wouldn't you think that?
No.
You wouldn't think that?
No.
Come on. I have
an IQ above 50.
Yeah, well, if they're trying to save sharks, I don't think that's the way to do it. Do you think? That doesn't do anything.
No.
That doesn't send a good message. That just, builds into all the hype and shark attack nonsense, and I think it just makes people want to, like, hey, we just got to make sure we don't have any of those sharks out there. Let's kill them. Kill them so we can swim and not have to worry about them.
Once again, more people are attacked every year in this country by dogs, and you don't see shows on dog attacks.
Right. Why don't they try to recreate the world's largest dog and put it on the beach and have
it eat
things?
I think they do. Isn't that the Kardashian show?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. That's my final word.
By the way,
I swear.
It was the entire young team from MythBusters. Granny Mahora was there.
That was the team that was on the Sharkzilla show, yes.
Right.
But the cutaways, I'm not sure if it was the same guy. I don't think it was. It was one guy who was feeding this stuff and like, hey, tune in next when we're going to feed Sharkzilla a washer or, a small child. No, they didn't do that, at least.
It's Cary Grant and Tory. Those are the guys that are...
Yeah.
Cary Grant, the actor?
No, Cary.
Because he's dead.
Cary Grant and Tory.
That's what I said, Cary Grant.
No. Cary, Byron, Grant Imahara, and Tory Belleci.
And that's from what show?
MythBusters.
That's a show?
That's
yes.
a show? You don't know MythBusters?
No.
Oh, you're missing out. I hate to bring this up.
Really?
This is a good show. This is a show where, the things that you hear said... And there's myths about
certain
things.
100-million-year-old megalodon shark that they recreate on the beach like that?
Well, here's what they do. When
they're
going to
feed it washer and dryers?
When there's a myth, the first thing they do is they try and disprove the myth. They try and recreate the circumstances which could have created the myth and see if they can do it, see if it happens.
Right.
So then they determine whether the myth is plausible or confirmed, or busted.
Then,
if they can't really do it, then what they do is they create a circumstance where the myth could have happened with today's technology, and they blow a lot of stuff up.
Yeah, there's this thing that they have. It's made out of a lot of paper with numbers on them. I think they call them books. They're usually in a library, and you can go there and research that stuff and find out the same information and actually learn something other than sitting in front of the TV.
You're boring.
Yeah.
Reading is boring. This is TV.
Reading is fundamental.
this is TV with pictures and a cute redheaded girl. Move on.
Yeah, I have to. I don't even know what the hell you guys are talking about
Riff.
Anymore.
You don't remember the Riff commercials?
No. I don't want to.
Ruff is what was said by the world's largest dog just before he ate someone.
Wow. All right. Well, on a related note, Captain Patrick gave me...
I did not give you. You took him out of my folder.
The top five worst shark films of all time.
I don't agree, and I don't agree with the list.
And Sharkzilla is not on here because it wasn't a film.
Right.
It was a TV show, but it would have been, I think, if you ask me.
Well, I think that's actually movies. Could be like theatrical or made for TV.
I'm trying to think if any of these I've actually seen.
Yeah, well, I think the last one.
Have you not seen Mega Shark versus
Giant Octopus. Yeah, that's number... Well, first one, Shark Attack 3, Megalodon.
Okay.
Which I don't have any idea what that was.
Stupid.
And then Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Yeah, which I have seen clips of.
Yes.
Now, Mythbusters, the whole show.
That's one where a shark jumps out of the water and takes a jet out of the air.
Surprisingly enough, Mythbusters proved that that could actually happen.
Well,
that is not true.
It is true.
That is not true.
There's
no way that they said that a shark could calculate the speed that a jet would be traveling and jump a mile in the air.
Absolutely, they did.
The jet was flying very low, and it was just by coincidence. When a shark jumped out of the water, it could happen. Come on, there's no busting that needs to happen, Bill.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Pescado Diabolico, the evil god of sharks.
Sharks?
Yep. The story goes that one night when the sea winds moan, old Shark Face will walk upon the land, and all his man-eaters will leave the briny deep and follow him, driving all of us humans back into the sea.
My hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin.
All right, so here's the deal. That song right there is from the movie Deep Blue Sea. That's LL Cool J, right? And that, according to your list, is the sixth worst shark film of all time. Deep Blue Sea? Really?
It's unbelievable that that's the sixth worst and not that there are five worse films.
Well, I think they really looked at the that scene with Samuel L. Jackson where he gets eaten. You know, the shark jumps out of the water, lands right on top of him. Yeah.
It can happen.
Well, it's
Much Samuel Jackson. He's
the whole premise of this movie is that we get some genetically altered shark that we've made so smart that it comes and chases us down because this time it's personal.
Listen, if they came after LL Cool J after what happened last week, he would beat the living daylights out of the shark.
All right, well, the other ones, just to round out this list, Swamp Shark, which never heard of that one. Sand Sharks, never heard of that one.
Oh, hold on. You actually have.
Oh, Sand Sharks. Sand Sharks? Great.
Hello?
You down at the beach, at your beach house?
No.
Say yes.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Sand Shark!
You don't remember sand sharks? It was a species of shark that learned to adapt.
I know sand sharks. I've heard of sand sharks.
No,
of course.
The movie. It was a species of shark that learned to adapt and actually swam under the sand. So okay. You didn't have to be in the water.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad. I didn't see that one. Then the one that caught my eye the most, Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
Yes.
Three sharks died in Snooki's cleavage.
Yeah, that's what it would sound like.
Ew.
I mean, actually, I may rent this one.
But you know anyway. What? No, it's surprising that didn't make the list.
Jaws 4.
Well, you're not that far off.
3D.
Because as great as Jaws has been heralded to be, Jaws 2 was pretty bad.
Right.
Okay. Jaws 3D, which was the one that was filmed here in Orlando at SeaWorld, with Dennis Quaid and the other guy from The Officer and a Gentleman.
Richard Gere.
No, not that guy. The other guy. You know, that great...
Louis Gossett Jr.
Yes. Wasn't he an Oscar winner?
Yes.
What are you doing in this movie? It was horrible. And Bess Armstrong was in that.
Wow.
And Leah Thompson.
You know way too much about these really crappy movies.
Then you had Jaws 4, The Revenge, which was Lorraine Gary going to the Caribbean to hunt the shark that killed her sons.
Jaws 4 was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. Then you had Jaws 5.
No, you didn't. There was no Jaws 5.
There was absolutely a Jaws 5. Do not make you a liar on national radio.
Jaws? There was a Jaws 5?
There was a Jaws 5.
Wow.
Never heard of
that
it.
That must have made a solid $50.
You and about 3 million other people.
That must have made a solid $50 at the box office.
Well, I'm glad we're covering what not to watch here on Scuba Radio today.
It's a takeoff.
It's a public service.
It's a radio takeoff of the TV show What Not to Wear.
Okay, what not to watch or something. Is that what
not to watch?
Yeah. All right, well, let's just move on. We've done our public
wear.
Service. Now we should do things that you should, be a part of. Bob Evans from Force Fins is on the line with us. Bob, how are you, my friend?
All these sharks, you know, we had a great white off the beach out here.
You did?
We saw last week, yeah.
Okay, well, that's not the Jersey Shore. That's the left coast.
No, that's Henry's Beach right here in Santa Barbara. I went to the beach the other day to check out the signs. And in Spanish and in English.
don't go in the water or you may not come out. Something like that, I guess, huh? Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I want to avoid sharks. I'm done with Shark Week. I just, you know, they've had enough bad press. It's time to...
Yeah, but did you hear the good news? The Chinese are no longer going to serve shark fin soup at all their major banquets. So there's a head start. There's another side of sharks. You know, they don't want to bother us.
Yes.
I was in the Bahamas with the tiger sharks and the lemon sharks. And, you know, they're cool. They really need to be protected. So I'm not into this shark movie stuff. I think it scares people.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no reason to watch that garbage. Leave that to people like Patrick.
Thank you.
And we'll leave it at that. But Bob, you know, I wanted to get you on the air today because as Bill pointed out at the beginning of the show, he's been seeing this on Facebook as well. People are posting their force fins, pictures of their force fins on the beach at some exotic destination for diving and posting this up on Facebook. You didn't have anything to do with this, though, did you?
No, it's really unusual. You know, I mean, it's almost like a trend if people are putting their force fins in different places and showing their adventures. And hey, that's what it's all about. That's why I started this business, was to get more people in the water without foot cramps and leg cramps. And I think people are starting to figure out that a fin that hangs off the end of your foot just does not make any sense at all. And we're the only company for 30 years that doesn't incorporate your foot in the fin design. Greg, I'm telling people, you know, like, if you want to go in the water, do me a favor. Leave your foot on land, you know. Just leave it on land. And, like, remember Daryl Hannah told me, she says, Bob, your fins are an extension of my body, not my foot. And I think that's what people are starting to show. They're making this statement very subtly that this is a fin they prefer, and it's the best fin for an aquatic experience. And
a lot of the fins have nobody's feet in them. A lot of the pictures are just of the fins, because the fins are cool looking.
They are. You know, they've been on display in the New York...
They're a permanent exhibit in the Museum of Modern Art, and I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
What the significance of that means. A product that changed the way people perceive moving through water.
I actually saw them at the Boston Museum of Science, too. I didn't see a pair of fins there. I saw a fin. I thought, that's kind of weird.
They're slated for some more shows coming up, but I think it's just, you know what, everything's changed. You don't have to look at magazines anymore that are full of advertising garbage, and people could go online and say what they want to say about products.
Hey, Bob,
and Bob,
hate to interrupt, but we're on radio, and it is full of advertising for products, so shh. Ixnay on the advertising.
Well, we love your advertising.
That's right. That's a different kind. They're all good.
Yeah,
folks.
That's why I have Dan Insurance, because I heard about it on Scuba Radio.
Well, there you go. Of
that's
course.
Why I have force fins, because I heard about it on Scuba Radio.
Now, have you taken your force fins, Bill? You need to start taking pictures of them and putting them in places and posting them on Facebook.
I will do that. That's
cool
what I'm going to start
trend.
Doing.
I mean, when you
Should
see
there be
the
water
photos.
Around?
There could be. I mean, it's an interesting thing, because these pictures do look like a piece of art, don't they? Sitting on the beach,
there
it's like,
great
wow.
Great pictures.
It's
Go
pretty
to
wild.
Forcefin on Facebook and check out the photos. Forcefin on Facebook.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer, and Bob Evans from Force Fins is on the line with us. You know, Bob, the people are taking their pictures of these Force Fins. You didn't have anything to do with it. These are just proud Force Fin owners. And I don't know, maybe we need to make this into a promotion or something. When they start posting up these pictures and something catches our eye, like they've put them in some unique position or place in the world, maybe we just have to grab one and give them something. You think? I love the idea. Because they are like pieces of art. I mean, they're photo worthy for sure.
You know, I'm just like probably a million Force Fins are out there after 30 years, and the internet has changed everything for me. I mean, it's like the Berlin Wall coming down, and you know, people can. I have no control over what happens over the internet. I'm trying to come on and thank people. You know, I've learned how to kind of Facebook and say like and just say cool picture. I mean, what more can I say? Look at these guys; they're in rebreathers. They're total tech divers. They're coming. These are coming in from all over the world, mm-hmm. and it's like okay, you know, we're starting to make a statement on about what we have. Our fins and how important they are to us. And I mean, really, it's the only way we propel ourselves through the water. I don't use my hands much, and the fins are such an important part of our diving equipment. And I think people enjoy not getting leg cramps and having to eat bananas. I mean, I think there's this message that I've been putting out there for so long, I think is starting to sink in.
You know, the people from Dole are online too, and they're mad about the lack of bananas.
Yeah, you've seen the gorilla. I tell people, you know what eats bananas?
We don't want to talk about that, I have a feeling.
I could push this subject in a funny different direction. I thought to myself this morning, I better behave myself, you know?
Yeah. That'll be a first time.
Yeah,
thank
it
you,
would
Bob.
Be, but we love him. He is Bob Evans from Force Fins. ForceFin.com. Go there. Check him out. And start posting your pictures on Facebook of your pair of Force Fins. Who knows? We might, if it catches our eye, we might hook you up with something. It's a cool idea, and they are definitely photo worthy. All right, coming up, we got an update on Hurricane Isaac from a diver's perspective and a new Dan tip. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 217. One of the many benefits of rebreather certification is the ability to dive without bubbles. So keep in mind, when bubbles do appear when diving with a rebreather, there'll be no hiding the fact that you had seconds on the Mexican omelet at the breakfast buffet.
I fart in your general direction.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network with us. And I have a question.
And let's hope I have an answer.
How long can a person dive?
What do you mean? Like an individual dive or dives in a day?
No. I mean, is there an age when it's time to hang up your regulator?
Absolutely not. There really isn't an arbitrary age. As long as you're healthy enough to do it, diving can be a lifelong activity.
But we change as we age. We slow down. Not me, of course. You know, our gear gets heavier. Maybe a few of us get a little heavier, too. But how do we keep going?
It's really all about the art of adaptation.
What does that mean?
Well, I think it means something different for everybody. Adaptation is about knowing yourself, knowing your limitations and your needs as they change over time.
Knowing what works and what doesn't.
Exactly. And the need to adapt is really not exclusive to issues associated with aging. There's not one of us that goes through life without experiencing physical changes of one kind or another. Sometimes it's due to an injury or a medical condition. Sometimes it's just time getting to us. But physical changes are part of the game.
Hence the need to know thyself.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes, you have to know yourself before you can know if something is wrong or what kind of adaptation may be required. For example, if you really take stock of yourself, you know what gets sore, what muscles are stronger, which ones are more susceptible to injury, you know, that sort of thing.
Got any suggestions?
Start with asking yourself, how do I feel? And really stop long enough to answer that question. Every pre-dive experience requires you to feel up to the activity before you get in the water. As part of that ritual, regular medical checkups are a really good habit, as well as regular exercise. Not just for overall fitness, but add strength training as well. Also, test yourself from time to time to ensure that you're ready for the more physical elements of diving.
Perhaps swim some laps in the pool.
That's a great way to take stock.
So let's say you take stock and determine that you need to make some changes to your usual diving routine. What kind of adaptations can you make?
Well, it may not be possible for me to answer that question completely, but there are some basic considerations that come to mind. If you're not able to, say, lift a scuba tank, ask someone for help. Let's say if a giant stride just isn't working for you anymore, try another method of entry. If you can't lift your full assembly scuba unit, or if you can't move with it on, think about donning your gear in the water. Needing to adapt isn't a problem or a reason to stop diving. It's only a problem if you let pride get in the way and refuse to do it.
How many times have I heard that one?
Probably as many times as I remind myself.
Yeah, if I had a dollar. It sounds to me like sometimes being kind to yourself and admitting you need to adjust can actually keep you diving instead of ending it.
That's a fact.
So what if you don't know how to adapt?
Remember, knowledge is power. If you find yourself facing a change that may require adaptation, learn more about it. Learn what you can do. Is it a medical condition? Learn about any symptoms that may affect your diving. Do you have to take medications? Know the possible side effects, and again, how they might affect or be affected by diving.
The medics at Dan are a good resource for that, right?
Absolutely. We answer questions about medical conditions and medications all the time. Sometimes we're able to impart all the information needed, and sometimes we're able to connect a diver with a knowledgeable medical professional who can work with them more closely. The important thing is that divers are learning what they need to know to change with the times. And we applaud and encourage that.
Oh, I like applause.
Well, I'll be sure to give the guys a heads up.
Cool. Are there any more common sense adaptations a diver can make?
Sometimes we just need to remember to take it easy and dive within our limitations. And sometimes we just need to slow down from time to time.
And sometimes we just need to slow down.
Sometimes we do. But either way, it's a good time to remember that there is no need to dive in extremes. You shouldn't feel like you have to go deep or stay as long as your profile allows. You do not have to complete a half dozen dives just because you used to. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with taking a longer surface interval between dives. Time spent topside can be just as much fun as time spent underwater.
Sounds like if you know yourself and throw a little kindness into the mix, you're on the right track.
You got it.
See? You had the answer.
I try.
You can't stop time, but it doesn't have to stop you either. Remember that change can be good, provided you're willing to change with it. So don't be stubborn. Learn the art of adaptation and keep on going. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer, and on the line, Barry from South Florida. Now Barry is a big fan of the show, big part of our entourage here in the state, and I know you're hunkered down. Is that right now because of Isaac is headed your way, taking your drink order or something? I don't know.
He's trying to look more like a hunk, is what he's doing.
He is. What are you doing exactly? I don't get this.
Not much right now. Just waiting for something to happen. It's just overcast and quiet right now. Actually, yeah. What I'm doing is preparing for Tuesday or Wednesday.
That's when it's actually going to come over the state, possibly. That's what they're saying now, right? But the winds...
No.
What are you waiting for, then?
Tuesday or Wednesday is when the storm's gone, and hopefully the lobster will be close to shore.
Ah, okay. So are you hearing reports from anybody else in that regard, or are you just kind of going from past experience, thinking maybe that would be the case?
I'm going from past history and hoping that... that they get smart and they come to shore because they want to relax.
Now, is the storm really supposed to pass over you, or is it supposed to pass over the Western Keys and go to the west side of the state?
Well, right now it looks like it's supposed to go over the Keys, maybe Isle of Marotta or Marathon, but we're still in the cone of doom, as they call it on news. So we'll see what happens between now and tomorrow.
Hmm. Okay. And regardless, this is a big system, so... It is stirring up the seas and the winds and things like that. Whether it goes straight over South Florida or not, it's going to affect our weather. Even here in Orlando, we're expecting it to have an impact here in a couple days. But that's kind of what they're telling you down there in South Florida, I assume, too, right, Barry, or what?
Yeah, they're telling us just to prepare because you don't know what's going to happen between now and tomorrow. And if you want to put up your shutters, put them up. And, you know, worst case scenario, you take them back down.
Okay. So have you put up your shutters? Have you went to that extreme yet or no?
No, I'm going to wait a couple more hours until a little of this drizzle kind of blows over. And then
right.
I'll probably put them up for the night, and that'll be that.
That'll be fun, because when his house gets destroyed by the weather, he'll say, I'm sorry, I couldn't put up my hurricane shutters. It was raining.
No. It's actually a big pain in the butt to put those things up, isn't it? And it makes your house all dark and dingy and everything. I sympathize with those folks. We're going to check in with some folks down in the Keys a little bit later on as well to find out how they're coping with this situation. I know,
Drinking already.
Exactly. What are the seas right now? Do you know, Barry? I mean, you've been watching the weather as far as from a boating perspective as dive operators.
The storm's in Cuba.
Well, yeah, but it's already affecting.
The seas are not that bad yet. I mean, really, the wind, as a matter of fact, the wind's pretty much dead. It won't pick up till tomorrow. I know that they've had news reports down in the Keys all day long, and you have these squall lines come through, and then the seas pick up, and then they smooth out. And, yes, they are already drinking down there.
Yeah. Well, you know, even here in Orlando today, we have overcast skies. I thought that was because of the system, right, Bill?
No.
This has nothing to do with it?
No.
Oh, no.
It's just cloudy out.
It's just
cloudy? That would happen sometimes.
All right.
And so guess what? Guess what? It's cloudy in Colorado, too. Nothing to do with this storm.
What? So I am suffering from premature...
Yes, you are. I thought I'd jump in on
yes
that one.
Yes, to all of the above.
Thought I'd jump in.
Okay.
Avoid an embarrassing revelation.
All right, but you're kind of excited on this prospect, not because of a storm possibly headed your way, but because it might stir up the lobsters and make them walk or something like that. Because that is the unofficial theory, is that the first big storm of the season stirs up the lobster and maybe causes them to start walking up and down the Florida beaches.
We're checking Mythbusters on that one.
All right, let's call them.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer. All right, so Hurricane Isaac looks like it's going to take a swing at least close to Florida, if not over the Florida Keys and up into the Gulf. And, you know,
and
the
probably wipe Tampa off the face of the earth during the Republican National Convention.
Nah, I doubt it. Just a little bit.
God is angry.
You know, it'll be interesting. I mean, the bad news, of course, is that it puts a crimp on the diving this weekend for folks in Florida. The seas are all churned up. Visibility's, you know, gone to crap. And, you know, not much happening in that regard. However, as Barry pointed out, he's kind of excited because this is the first big storm of the year in Florida. And that is, you know, the time when a lot of people think the lobsters will walk. Now, you know, I've been out lobstering 3 times already for the season, which is a pretty good time. I mean, that's one of the best seasons I've had. you know, for lobster and for me personally, I don't usually have the luxury to get out that much at the beginning of the season. But honestly, I haven't had much luck. I haven't seen that many lobsters to snag with my snare, which is always frustrating. I'm telling you, 95% of catching Florida spiny lobster, and this probably applies to the lobster and off the West Coast as well, is finding these little bugs, knowing where they're hiding, where they're hanging. Catching them is a trick, and it's a skill that you learn over time, and you get better at it, whether you're using a tickle stick and a net or a looper like me. But finding those bugs is really, really difficult. And I've had the luxury of going out on a dive in South Florida with Barry 3 years ago when we heard that the lobsters are walking. And when they walk, now if you haven't heard of this, this is an amazing thing to see, to witness underwater. And if you Google, you know, lobster walk, you can pull up tons of videos of people that have captured this phenomenon, because they don't really understand why the lobsters do this. But every once in a while, they'll get stirred up, and they'll line up in a row, or they'll gather in bunches, and they will congregate. And whether it's because they're running from a hurricane or rough water,
the overthrow of the humankind.
Exactly. They don't know why they do
this. But they plot.
And sometimes they show up in really, really shallow water. Literally, you could walk right off the beach and they'll be right there in like 2 feet of water. They don't need a lot of water, no. But they'll walk up and down the coast, and of course it's a feeding frenzy for lobster hunters when they do that, when the word gets out, and it's just mayhem. Now, 3 years ago, I went down with Barry. He had heard that there was talk they were walking. He didn't have any official channels, but the scuttlebutt was out there. So sure enough, we went down. We went to the marina to put his boat in the water, and one of the other boats coming in said, "Oh, yeah, they're walking. They're right over here by Dania Pier," which is off the coast of Hollywood, Florida. And so we went down there, and, you know, I'm diving, and I'm looking for these bugs, and we're in maybe 12 feet of water. It's really shallow. The visibility is actually pretty good. It's not great, but it's a little murky, but it's, you know, good enough for lobstering. And sure enough, after about 10 minutes, and at that point, I was starting to go, yeah, they might be around here somewhere, but I'm never going to find them. All of a sudden, I come up to this rubble pile, and I look around, and I'm like, hallelujah. I mean, literally, there must have been 50 lobsters gathered in a circle, and I just freaked out. I was like, this is the most amazing thing I have ever seen in my life.
And you just went just grabbing them.
Well, no, at first, I just watched. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm actually witnessing this firsthand, because it's extremely rare to be in the water and see lobsters walk or congregate like this. So first, I kind of soaked it in.
They're not normally out in the open during the daytime at all, right?
No, not at all. That's very seldom will you see them like that. I mean, it's they're usually up under crevices and cracks in the reef and things like that. You know, you might get lucky and see them out on the reef every once in a while during the day. At nighttime, you'll see them walking around possibly, but usually it's just one or two, you know, scurrying around the reef and that kind of thing on a night dive. But when you're down there in the daytime and you see them congregating, and I knew exactly what I was witnessing, and I was honored to be there, first of all. But secondly, I was really pissed off because
angry.
I was like, didn't have my camera with me. I was like, oh my gosh, what a photo op. And then thirdly, what kicked in was my hunger.
So what you did was you just scooped them all up into a basket and you brought them up onto the surface and you took pictures of them. Like you recreated the scene underwater by taking these 50 lobsters and just laying them out on the beach.
No, well, in a way, yes. No, actually, what I did, I started looking, and you literally could pick and choose. Like, okay, that's a nice size one. I'm gonna go for that boy. Ooh, that one's that's a good one right there. And you literally could pick and choose which ones you wanted to go after. And when I started, you know, the key to seeing them in that type of scenario was you had to be very calm. You had to be you know, very cool about your approach, because if you catch one and you stir them all up, they're just going to go flying all over
scatter.
The place. Yeah. So I had to grab them very, I had to grab them very delicately with my snare, and I'd sneak up on one. I was like, okay, that's a good one. I'd grab that and stick it in my bag, and then they'd still stay
that's
in there.
That's a funny
glaring.
Story, right, Lou? Lou? Lou?
Where are you?
No, Lou.
He was right here,
Lou?
I swear. Oh, wait.
Lou
he's
was
over,
right here a second
ago. He's over
in
that bag. That bag. Let's go over there and check that out. Yeah, it's a lobster hunter's dream, no doubt. All right, well, there's my lobster hunting experience story for you. We got more coming up in hour two. Scuba Board from Pete. We're going to check in with him. Also, Carl Fismer, treasure hunter extraordinaire. That's all coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.